Hello, my loves. Welcome to Full Ass Human, the podcast. My name is Melanie Holst Collins, known as Mel the Oracle. I'm a multidimensional healing facilitator, mentor, deep music lover, tea enthusiast, and a dope human being. This podcast is space for you to prioritize being for a living. We explore the depth and vastness of humanness from my own personal experience, as well as through general life themes we all experience, like self-growth, relationships, spirituality, sexuality, emotional and mental wellness, and so much more. So if you yearn for soulful, expansive connection and conversation and desire to live deliberately, I'm your people. This is your vibe. So come through, tune in, and vibe with me. Hello, my loves. Welcome back. How are you? How are you feeling? How's your heart? I'm recording this on August 8th in this energy of the Lion's Gate, and I'm feeling quite scattered and lifted and sensitive. So you're listening to this later. Think back to how you felt on this day and just check into how that is in comparison to your energy today when you're listening to this. I'm excited to be back for episode 7. I'm 7 episodes in to this podcast, and I'm feeling very excited and just proud of how this community is growing, how I continue to work through my perfectionism wound through this podcast, and just how you all continue to listen, share your feedback, share your insights and your thoughts and your experiences with listening to each episode. It really warms my heart a lot. And I want to say a couple of things before I get into the meat of this episode. One, the suggested playlist for today's episode is called Guided Meditation, A Restful Vibe. And because I'm talking about books, a lot of times when you're reading, silence is beautiful. And a lot of times that's the best way that people can concentrate when they're reading. But sometimes it also feels good to have background noise, background music, white noise. So this playlist is quite calming and soothing for that reason. And so I'm suggesting it. For this episode, you all can find all the playlists in the show notes. So if you are someone who has not looked at a show note yet, whatever platform you're listening to this on, look in the show notes. I put a lot of information in there every single episode, and this is always where you can find an easy link to Spotify to find the playlist that is complimentary to each episode. All right. And then stay connected with me on Spotify. You can follow me there as well. And one thing that I want to share that I've shared on social media recently is that I will be leaving Instagram. I will actually be recording a whole podcast episode about this next week, so look out for that on the 17th. But as we gear up for me leaving that space, transitioning away from there, the one way that you can already make sure that you stay connected with me is by joining my email list. I haven't sent an email in a couple of weeks, but I usually reach out and connect with my email list intimately once a week. And because I'll be off of social media, I will be very consistent with that because all of my energy will be going there. So in addition to the podcast, connect with me on my email list. And there is a link in the show notes where you can go directly to do that. I will also be starting up a Patreon soon to support the work and the growth of this podcast, but also to create real community around it. And so please look out for that. That will be coming probably within this next month and maybe before then. So that is the other way that you can stay connected and in real ass community with me once I leave Instagram at the end of the year. But definitely before then, but just know December 31st will be my last day on Instagram, and I'll be talking about that more in the next episode. Also, another reminder, y'all, it's my birthday month. In the last episode, I let you all know that you can support by rating and leaving a review for the podcast on Spotify and in Apple Podcasts. Continue to listen, continue to share with your people. And if you're still on social media, sharing on your social media platforms. And also, I have a Amazon wish list. So if you would like to gift me with something tangible, I have a wish list link in the show notes as well. I love candles. I love incense. I love tea things. I love music. All the things in my Amazon wish list, all right? And I think that is all that I had to say. So now that we're 5.5 minutes in, let's get into the meat of this episode. Today I'm going to be sharing 7 books that have supported my spiritual journey. One thing that I've found with years of being on Instagram and sharing in that public space, all the things that I've shared about and taught about and all the courses and mentorships and programs that I've created, people are always so interested in what books I have read over the years to support me in becoming the presence that I am, that has supported me in my spiritual journey, my personal growth journey, my journey through womanhood, sensuality, sexuality. And I'm always sharing books. I'm always creating recommended book lists. I'm always sharing what I'm reading. And I find that that is really intriguing and supportive to people who are, you know, in my energy field. So I've done a few of these, few different lists over the years, and I think I share different books every time. Some are the same, but I'm going to share 7 today. And as I gear up to create this Patreon and the different tiers of membership, I'm actually going to be recording a bonus episode with maybe 5 or 6 more books that are specific to the support on my journey with deepening my relationship with sex and pleasure, the feminine and womanhood. So that will be a bonus episode that will only be available for my patrons. So even though I don't have Patreon up and ready yet, I am going to be recording that episode. And as soon as you join, when I make that available, you will have first dibs on that. And only you, if you are a patron. Okay. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to babble off the title of each book. I'm going to give a little bit of information about it, kind of my story in relationship to the book. And then I highlight and earmark and put post-it notes in all of my books. So I'm just going to open up and choose a page or a passage, and I'm going to read that, and then I'll go on to the next book. All right. So the first book that, and also no, this is not an exhaustive list. I've read so many books over the years that I can't, there's no way that I can include every single book. But for me personally, these are the ones that have had deep effects on my life and my spiritual growth over time. So the first book is called Path to Truth, A Spiritual Guide to Higher Consciousness by June Michael. This book right here, y'all. So on the last episode, I talked about this experience that I had while I was a sophomore at Howard University with contemplating suicide in 2007. And the next day, you know, so I clearly chose not to move forward with that, because right when I had that moment, I kind of jolted myself awake. And I remember going to sleep that night. And the next day, I felt like my collar was being grabbed on by something else. It was not me. I would call it spirit now, right? I would definitely call it spirit. I would call it my ancestors, but I felt like my collar was being pulled and I was led to the bookstore for some reason. I just left my dorm and started walking, and I ended up at the bookstore, and I was led over to the books, obviously. And I was led to this purple book with this image of Ma'at on it, and I walked over to it, and as soon as I picked it up, it felt like something just clicked. It felt like lights went on. It felt like angels were singing in the background. It felt like, pick this book up, take this with you. This is significant for exactly where you are right now. Take heed to being led here. And that's exactly what this book was. This book was a great introduction to opening me up to metaphysics, to spiritual and universal laws, because at this time I was moving through this, really it was a spiritual crisis. Traditional patriarchal spiritual practices and religion, specifically Christianity, was not resonating with me. I felt completely disconnected from it. I had so many questions that no one could, or no one took the time, or no one felt it was important to answer when I asked. And that didn't sit right with me. That made me extremely skeptical, more skeptical than I was on my own. I was just really going through this time where I felt like, that's not what I believe, but I don't know where to find, where to search for, where to really get to a point where I feel comfortable with what is resonating for me. Like, I just was drawing a blank. I had an idea of certain things that I believed, but I didn't feel safe enough within myself to explore them. I didn't feel like I had information to really settle on, like, ah, this is it. And this book was that for me. So it was so divine that I was led to this book the day after I had this thought of transitioning myself, you know, out of this realm. And so this book was literally my first introduction to, like, oh my God, this feels resonant. This feels true. This is what I have been looking for. This is what my soul feels called to. So again, opening up this world of metaphysics and spiritual and universal laws, and allowing me to find some safety in exploring spirituality outside of traditional religion. So it was truly like a lifesaver. That's really what it felt like. And at this time, I was still intellectualizing my spirituality. Everything for me was still in this heady space, because that had been my intellect was my safe space still at this time, retreating inward into my mind and finding an intellectual understanding of things was my safe place. So reading this book, I have so many highlights and earmarks and things, and But I know that I was still in this place of like intellectualizing it. Even after reading it, I wasn't necessarily embodying everything that was here, but it felt good to have a better understanding of what felt true to me. And so I'm opening the back of this book because there's a section where it says spiritual notes, and it had all of these blank pages, just space for you to write notes and insights and realizations. So I'm going to read like a couple of sentences that I wrote. Spirituality involves, and it's wild to see my handwriting from 2007. All right. Spirituality involves seeing life as something greater than a physical plane. It is a continuous path of self-realization. There is something beyond the worldly definition of things. We encompass a connection to something greater, universe, supreme being, or energy. Because of this meaning behind spirituality, more meaning is put into the meaning of life and the nature of the human being. Wow. And then the next thing says, my understanding. Being spiritual is not the same as being religious. Religious is following a certain creed, doctrine of a proclaimed religion. Religious people become spiritual by following the highest ideals of their religion. Spiritual people who are religious follow their own highest ideals and their higher guidance. Huh. This is so interesting. So yeah, that's just something I wrote in the back there. And it's really interesting to see my handwriting from that time. But that book for me was monumental. I can't say that I only recommend this book if you are really, like, truly at the beginning stages of like, I'm so confused. I know that I have an idea of the beliefs that resonate with me, but I'm looking for a place to learn more. I'm looking for a place to find some safety in moving into that belief. Like I'm just trying to grab onto something that helps me learn more about this inkling that I have of what's true to me. All right. The second book, The Celestine Prophecy, An Adventure by James Redfield. If you have not read this book, I highly recommend it. So this is a fiction book. It's not nonfiction, but the knowledge, the wisdoms, the ideals, everything about this book is steeped in universal energy, is steeped in understanding life beyond what you can feel and see. Is steeped in deep insight into life through like spiritual understanding. So even though it's a fiction book, it is so full of inspiring spiritual wisdoms. And this is, you know, this book came to me maybe like 2008, later 2007, early 2008. My on off again boyfriend at that time actually suggested this book. It was something that someone told him about, like passed the book to him, and then he basically passed the book and the recommendation to me. And that's what I feel like The Celestine Prophecy is. I feel like this is, someone read the book, they read it, they devoured it, they got what they needed from it, and then they find someone who is, you know, at a specific part of their spiritual journey, and they say, hey, read this. This might be something that supports you right now. That's what this book feels like. It feels like a hand-me-down, hand-to-hand book. But basically, this book is about this guy from the States who has friends who are like scientists, and this ancient manuscript has become unearthed in Machu Picchu, Peru. And so he just gets this like inkling of, I need to go there and find, I want to learn more about this manuscript and these insights that everybody are talking about. And so he goes to Machu Picchu, Peru, And all of these beautiful synchronicities happen where he learns about each insight through people that he meets on his journey. And the funny part about this is that the manuscript, people are trying to find it, right? So people are talking about it, trying to find it. But over time, each insight has been revealed. You know, it's like the information has leaked. And so people that he meets are teaching him each insight on his journey. But the thing is that the government, of course, is trying to block people from getting this information. Like they're it's like hidden because they don't want people to have this information, which, of course, right? Like that's life at this point. So it's really interesting. It's fun. It's insightful. It's an adventure. You're like going along with him. This really opened me to, again, this idea that we're led by something bigger. This opened me to this idea of trusting the universe and also realizing that in this life, there really can be some danger to spiritual evolution because the forces and powers that be know that this type of information leads to free minds, leads to people moving into a place of freedom. And we know that that is not in the best interest of the forces that be. So it's interesting, right, that there is this parallel between the government trying to suppress this information that leads to more self knowledge, actualization, and freedom. I recommend this book to any and everyone. There was, I don't know where I found it, but there was a Celestine Prophecy movie. It was like a B level movie. I don't think it was on the big screen at all, but you can Google and see if you can find that. And there's a, let me see, I have this like little envelope here on this page. So I'm just going to read what's right here. Have you ever had a hunch or intuition concerning something you wanted to do, some course you wanted to take in your life, and wondered how might it happen? And then after you had forgotten about it and focused on other things, you suddenly met someone or read something or went somewhere that led to the very opportunity you envisioned? Well, she continued, according to the priest, these coincidences are happening more and more frequently, and that when they do, they strike us as beyond what would be expected by pure chance. They feel destined as though our lives had been guided by some unexplained force. The experience induces a feeling of mystery and excitement, and as a result, we feel more alive. This book opened me to the idea that there is no such thing as coincidence. Everything is synchronicity. So anything that you've ever considered as that's random, that's a coincidence, it's synchronicity. And it's showing you that this is the path. This is the way. You're right here. Yep. 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 Like it's those moments are big yeses from the divine, from spirit, from the universe. I love this book. Recommend it for any and everyone. All right, y'all. So this next book is super heady. I'm not even going to hold you. It's called The Biology of Belief, Unleashing the Power of Consciousness, Matter, and Miracles by Bruce Lipton. This book is super heady, y'all, but I absolutely loved it. This book really focuses on bridging science and spirit. It's a heady, sciencey way of describing the holistic nature of existence. So it deals more with the conscious and subconscious mind. And it talks about how our cells and our DNA are deeply affected by our thoughts. Hence this book being called The Biology of Belief. So it talked about how our beliefs, our core beliefs, our conditioned beliefs is actually what shifts and chains our cells and our DNA. So I know that sounds like super like, what the fuck does this have to do with spirituality, Mel? But, you know, what we believe is true as far as our connection to the intangible world, well, that is what shapes our spirituality, what shapes our spiritual practices, the way that we go about being in relationship with matter, you know, the things around us, everyday life. And so this book, I only recommend if you're interested in this kind of thing, if you want to see how, you know, quantum physics and all of that helps to really define and lay out this path of the holistic way of life and nature, and how what we're taught to believe and what we choose to believe really does affect the deepest building blocks of us and who we are and how we move about the world. So I was still, you know, very much in a heady space with my spirituality during this time. So this book really, it fed that, right? Like, this book was another safe space for that. And even though I was moving more into a space of embodying spirit and spirituality more, this still, it just offered another perspective. It was just a fun way to look at it that didn't feel woo-woo. But then it also helped me to, like, really think in scientific terms and how everything still led back to everything is energy. You know what I mean? Like, it was still a way to validate the, you know, what people would call woo-woo or airy-fairy ideas about spirituality. But, like, it brought in these sciencey, heady ways of saying, yeah, that's true, and this is how. So I only recommend this if that's something that, like, gets you off, like it did for me at the time. Let me see if I can find a passage, maybe something that I, like, earmarked. Conventional biologists are this is going to be crazy. Y'all are going to be like, girl, stop reading this shit, but listen to this. Okay. In addition, conventional biologists are reductionists who believe that mechanisms of our physical bodies can be understood by taking the cells apart and studying their chemical building blocks. They believe that the biochemical reactions responsible for life are generated through Henry Ford-styled assembly lines. One chemical causes a reaction, followed by another reaction with a different chemical, etc. The linear flow of information from A to B to C to D to E is illustrated on the following page. So there's this diagram of showing this very linear way of living. And then there's this diagram that shows this very interconnected, quantum, holistic way of being. So in this chapter, he's showing how life and the human being is not linear. It's not machine-like. It's like a web. It's interconnected. This reductionist model suggests that if there is a problem in the system, evident as a disease or dysfunction, the source of the problem can be attributed to a malfunction in one of the steps along the chemical assembly line. By providing the cell with a functional replacement part for the faulty element, by prescribing pharmaceutical drugs, for example, the defective single point can theoretically be repaired and health restored. This assumption spurs the pharmaceutical industry's search for magic bullet drugs and designer genes. However, the quantum perspective reveals that the universe is an integration of interdependent energy fields that are entangled in a meshwork of interactions. So a whole bunch of words to basically say that this life, this experience, this journey, our bodies do not operate in linear terms. You can't look at one thing and say, if we fix that, just that one thing, everything else will be okay, right? Like he talks about, this is the modern medicine. This is the way of modern health in the West. Put a Band-Aid on that and then you're good, but it's not focusing on the whole person. So this talks about, like, holistic versus non-holistic ways. So you see what I'm saying? He said a whole bunch of stuff in these heady terms, but it still stays true to speaking about these subjects, even without these scientific heady terms. So yeah, that's that book. Let's move on to the next book. This one is called Intimacy, Trusting Oneself and the Other by Osho. Insights for a New Way of Living. I'm sure a lot of you may be familiar with Osho, but he is like a spiritual teacher who really, in any work that he does, he really challenges his readers and, you know, the world, whoever's reading, to examine the conditioned belief systems that we have been born and taught into. That's when I think about Osho's work, because I've read several of his books, that's what he always does. He always challenges, like, you've been conditioned into this shit. Here is another way to look at this and try this out and see how your life go. So this book, Intimacy, it was so good. Like, I have so many highlights here, but there was a deep focus at this point when I found this book on how relationships are spiritual, how being in relationship with yourself, with others, is a deep spiritual practice. And in fact, I think it's the deepest. It is, relationships are the deepest form or vehicle or containers for spiritual growth while we're here. So this idea, this concept, or this experience of intimacy, trusting oneself and the other, is a deep way to deepen your spiritual practice and to understand how relationships help you to facilitate that. And at this time, I was really interested in that. So this book was deeply resonant with me for that reason. It's so good. You know, a lot of it is conversations around sex, how our society has moved into this space of being deeply accepting of casual sex, and how that can injure true deep intimacy. It just talks about, you know, your relationship with yourself, self-love, but just on a very deep and non-trendy dimension of self-love, and then allowing yourself to be seen and vulnerable with others. So that's what this book really focused on. And it was deeply transformational for me at the time, because I had just ended a long ass relationship. I mean, on and off, but basically from 17 to like the year that I found this book, I was on and off in a relationship. And so ending that and then finding this book, this was really supportive to me growing in finding more depth in relationships and focusing on creating that intimacy with myself before I invited another in, but also really opening myself to the idea of inviting another in, especially in being in relationship with that person for so long. So let me see if I can find a passage here. Yeah, I found this book around 2013-2014, which, yeah, makes sense. That was also the time that I moved to Austin, Texas, like on an intuitive whim. So there was a lot of opening going on, a lot of change. Let's see. This is a lot of highlights. But because you depend on others, you are afraid to go into aloneness. Because the moment you start going into aloneness, you start becoming very afraid of losing yourself. You don't have yourself in the first place, but whatever self you have created out of others' opinions will have to be left behind. Hence, it is very scary to go in. The deeper you go, the less you know who you are. So in fact, when you are moving forward towards self-knowledge, before it happens, you will have to drop all ideas about the self. There will be a gap. There will be a kind of nothingness. You will become a non-entity. You will be utterly lost, because all that you know is no longer relevant, and that which is relevant, you don't know yet. Christian mystics call this the dark night of the soul. That's the thing, you know. There's memes and videos on Instagram about like what you think your spiritual journey will be like and then what it's really like. And a lot of times you do go into this ego death where like everything, and that's what I experienced in a deep way in 2007 and what I'm experiencing in a lighter way now, is everything that you've known about yourself, how you've identified, all that you've held on to as far as what others will think of you or what they think of you or your place in this world gets fucking stripped. But the thing with that is our mind, right? Like our ego says, that means that you are dying. That means that you're going to dissolve. That means you're going to disappear. And on the spiritual side of things, it's like, this is necessary. This is necessary for you to rebirth yourself as this new higher version of you. So that's an interesting little passage from Intimacy. I do recommend this book to any and everyone, especially if you're wanting to find a deeper relationship with intimacy that has nothing to do with, you know, the physical, the limit of physical intimacy with another one, but really going into the power and depth of being seen and vulnerable in front of yourself and in front of others. The next one is Mastery of Love by Don Miguel Ruiz. He is the same man who wrote The Four Agreements, which a lot of people are familiar with. I have read that, and that has also been a significant book. I didn't feel like including it in the list, but that's definitely one of them. Mastery of Love is another one of his series, and this book really opened me up to understanding love as life, as, you know, this energy and vibration in which kind of life is lives within. Love outside of it being a noun or a verb, you know, or this crazy thing where chemicals go wrong and are, you know, like we have such limiting views of love. And this opened me up to a bigger, wider, more spacious understanding of love and relationship. This book, again, so can you tell, there was a point where relationship as spiritual practice, as a part of spirituality, and understanding it as a really important aspect of my spiritual growth became important to me. So these two books are a reflection of that. And let me see if I can find a passage. I have so many pages earmarked in this book. Let's say that you are a man and you are happy. And for whatever reason, your partner cannot be happy. She has personal problems. She is dealing with her garbage. She is unhappy. Because you love her, you will support her. But supporting her doesn't mean you are going to be unhappy because she's unhappy. This is not support at all. If she's unhappy and you get unhappy, both of you sink. If you are happy, your happiness can bring her happiness back. In the same way, if you are down and she is happy, her happiness is your support. For your own sake, let her be happy. Don't even try to take her happiness away. Whatever happens in your work, don't come home and throw your poison at her. Be silent and let her know it's nothing personal. You're just dealing with yourself. You can say, keep being happy, keep playing, and I will join you when I can enjoy your happiness. Right now, I need to be alone. Wow. It goes on, but that's a passage. So he speaks in very like straightforward, easy to read words, but still the depth and the weight of what he's saying still remains. So that was a chapter about you know, being in perfect relationship and really understanding that you deal with your shit. Your partner's happiness is not your responsibility, and your happiness is not their responsibility. So just talking about how the confines of love as we have determined it are incorrect. Trying to make someone happy or falling and sinking into unhappiness because someone we love is unhappy, right? So that was a, you know, a basic passage, but you can get an idea of what he's talking about in there. But that book is really good. Absolutely. I recommend any and all of his books. So he has the Four Agreements. He also has one called The Fifth Agreement. And that book is really good. You won't even need to get the Four Agreements if you get that book, because it goes through the four and then it talks about the fifth. So that's also a good one. And the next book. Okay, so now we're getting, all right, these next two books, shoddy, bomb. Personal Power Through Awareness by Sanaya Roman. This book is jacked up, which means I reference it a lot, which means I have read it several times and I have ran it through the mud. these books by Sanaya Roman, this is a series of books, and she channeled a spirit, and the name of the spirit was Orin. And so these books are channeled. This book right here was so powerful for me, because at the time that I found this book, I was accepting the fact that I was a very deeply feeling, highly sensitive being, and being comfortable and confident in moving through the world, owning my nature in that way, was difficult. And so this book was all about becoming really aware of your energy and the energy of people and the environment around you, and how you can find personal power through the awareness of both of those things. And I love Sanaya Roman's books because everything is like, it's like straightforward. I felt like at this point she was the queen of practical spirituality, because she talked about it just so straightforward. There was just no fluff. There was some fluff, but not a lot. It's just very straightforward, easily digestible, practical, accessible, really just easy way for people, and especially highly sensitive beings, to understand how they can own their gift and be healthy and well in being relationship with themselves and others. So I love this book. I recommend this book to every single person who wants to, you know, master their energy. And I definitely recommend this book. Let me see if I can find a passage for y'all. Okay, this has a lot of highlights. Send loving energy into your past. It is important to go back and clean up your memories, for often the ego will bring you unwanted negative memories of the past that will hold you back. See the soul qualities you were developing during painful times, and see that you were doing the best you knew how to do. The insights, skills, and attitude you have today were developed during those times. Each lesson left you with the growth that made the next step possible. Send loving energy into your past. And it basically talks about understanding that where you were brought you to where you are. All that you've gone through has supported you in being able to be where you are in this moment. And this is from the Opening Your Intuition chapter. This book, recommended to any and everyone. Sanaya Roman books are some of my favorite books. The next book is actually another Sanaya Roman book called Spiritual Growth, Being Your Higher Self. The front and the back cover of this book are gone. I have read this book so many times. I have referenced, I've read so many passages from this book in yoga classes that I taught, in experiences that I've led over the years. Like, this book right here Everyone just needs to have it, period. Everyone just needs to have it. Again, straightforward, practical, just makes you feel like, I get this. This makes so much sense. I love everything about this. And in 2017 and 2018, I actually guided a 21-day guided meditation experience, because at the end of each chapter, there is a guided meditation that you can tap into to help you like begin to practice what you learn in each chapter. And so I know a lot of people bought this book from that experience and have shared over time how monumental it has been for them. This book I love because it's broken down into three sections. And the first section is about reaching upward. So this book is all about tapping into and being and building a relationship with your higher self. Like not moving through life thinking that your higher self is some mystical, inaccessible, woo-woo thing. Like it's actually something you build a relationship with. So reaching upward to find a relationship with that part of you, and then opening inward is all about how you can cultivate and become one with your higher self. And then the last one is opening outward and how you be that, how you become a healing presence through being in relationship with your higher self. I love this book. I just can't say any more about it. I have this page. It's actually page 111. I have 6/13 class. So I probably read this passage on June 13th, 1 year in a yoga class. So the section is called Making Your Everyday Life Work is an Important Part of Spiritual Growth. Paying your rent, taking good care of yourself, and being self-sufficient are as important to your spiritual growth as meditating. Growth for most of you comes from living life fully, not from avoiding life and going off to a cave to meditate all day. You are here to learn from each person, each situation, and every challenge you have. You are here to learn to be fully present and aware of what is happening around you, adding more clarity, harmony, and light to all you do. Spiritual growth is learning to make your life work in every area, from your relationships to your career. As you put your spiritual light into everything you do, bring awareness and love to all your activities and turn every experience into an opportunity for growth. You are being your higher self. In the beginning, your spiritual growth may be something you focus on only occasionally. As you continue on your path, it will become an increasingly important part of your life. You will begin to turn everything you do into an opportunity to grow spiritually, even your everyday activities. So that's talking about infusing this journey of spiritual growth into everything, knowing that it's not a separate part of you. It's everything. It's why we're here. Spiritual growth is literally why we are here. You can't compartmentalize spiritual growth or spirituality. It's everything. It's life. It's every experience. I love that book, y'all. I'm gonna need y'all to just go ahead and get it immediately. All right, that is my 7 books. I'm actually going to give you one more bonus book that has contributed deeply to my spiritual growth. And it's a book about tea. It's called The Way of Tea, Reflections on a Life with Tea. Those of you may or may not know, I have a deep relationship with the practice and the art of being with and drinking tea. Time with tea has become a deep spiritual practice for me. It's a practice of going inward, of presence, of intuition building, of being in deeper relationship with my body. This book, and it's by Aaron Fisher, this book took my relationship with tea as a spiritual practice to a whole nother level. And I love it. Like, this book just feels like soft fabric against my skin. It feels like a koi pond in a garden with a ton of greenery. Like, that's what turning the pages of and reading this book feels like. And again, I was already on a journey of tea as a spiritual practice, time with tea, but this book really validated and confirmed that for me. And it's one of my favorite books. This passage, this is a quick passage. By learning to become sensitive to the way that tea affects our chi, or our life force in our bodies, we develop self-awareness through introversion, quietude, peace, tranquility, and equanimity. If you've ever been into any of my sacred spaces, you know that I began to infuse tea and tea ceremony into everything that I do, because presence with tea is a beautiful practice to bring you into a sensual way of living, to bring you into your senses, to practice sensuality with a cup of tea. Drinking tea is so much more than just drinking tea. It's even more than understanding the healing and medicinal benefits of the herbs. Because even if you don't, you still can have a healing experience with a cup of tea, because where it brings you, what it brings, what it has the ability and the potential to bring forth within you, how it allows you to be in deeper connection with yourself, your body, and your senses. I could talk about this forever. But I'm going to get off this episode. But before I do, I'm going to read this one more little passage. The real quietude found between the spaces. Any spiritual practice of any kind, anywhere, under any teacher, must begin fundamentally with a bit of quiet time. And yet there is a deeper state that we must achieve, in which the quiet is within our actions. With tea, we are indeed active. Pouring, steeping, and sipping on the outside, and even accepting and digesting on the inside. However, there is a great opportunity to shut off all the internal noise, let it drift away naturally as we explore the experience of drinking the tea itself. The more fully aware we are of the moment, of the tea, the more we will find the quietness inherent to the tea, or perhaps you could say it will find us. There is no need to really put any effort into quieting the mind. Just practice making the environment still and concentrate on the tea. Enjoy it. Drink of it fully. Notice every nuance of its flavor and aroma. Travel deeper to the chi in the body and ride those waves to the great silence that is our true nature. Tea is a wonderful, sensual, spiritual practice that I have infused into my everyday life. I infused into my work over the last 7 years, and I plan to talk more about in the bonus episodes on my Patreon, but also give people experiences when they become patrons as well. So again, shameless plug, look out for that when I make that available. But didn't that just give you a different perspective of how to be with tea? Didn't that just feel deep and nourishing? I love time with tea. It's been deeply healing on my entire journey. So that's it, y'all. That is the 7 books plus a bonus. Again, I'm going to be recording a bonus episode on maybe 5 or 6 books that are specific to supporting my journey with deepening my relationship with my sexuality, my sensuality, the feminine, womanhood, and pleasure. And that will be available as a bonus episode in my Patreon when it becomes available. I really hope that the things that I shared with my experiences with these books, the passages I shared, that something speaks to you, that maybe you take one of these book recommendations, that you consider taking more time to read, just taking more time to read. And if you see a book title or you see a book in the bookstore and it speaks to you and it pulls to you, pick it up. Follow that nudge. Be curious about why that book is coming to you at this time. If someone suggests a book to you, look into it. Take heed. The suggestion is coming to you at a certain part of your journey very intentionally. There is no such thing as coincidence. Everything is synchronicity. And when that comes into your life with anything, but in this conversation around books, take heed to that, because there's a message for you in that book. It may not be on every single page, but there might be a chapter or a passage that you need for something to unlock, for something to click, for a wisdom to dislodge. And, you know, reading and finding yourself in books can be such a deep part of your journey. And I just want you to stay open to that. All right. So remember to check out the show notes. I will see you all or talk to you all in the next episode. Until then, take care of yourself. Drink water, read, take some time for stillness, drink some tea, and we will talk in the next episode. Thank you so much for tuning into the podcast, listening to me speak, and helping to grow this Bull-Ass Human community. Before you tap out, remember to like, share, and subscribe, and rate us 5 stars, gratitude in advance. And if you're feeling froggy, share this. You can catch a screenshot of the podcast and share all your favorite gems on your social media platforms. Don't forget to tag me, Mel the Oracle. Check out the show notes for ways to stay connected with me and all the things. Again, thank you so much. I look forward to vibing with you again, and we'll talk on the next episode.
Hey. I know you're still processing another potent episode of the Full-Ass Human podcast, but before you go, I want to invite you to come hang out with me on my show, Multi-Passionate Mastery. If you're someone who has a lot of talents and a lot of passions, and you don't subscribe to the idea that you have to choose just one thing in order to be successful, then you're going to love the conversations that we're having over there. And I'm not inviting you to listen to my show just so I can pump you up with empowerment content. You're going to leave with tangible tips and holistic approaches to common problems that multi-passionates face, like focus, prioritization, knowing how to choose what to start with first, and that type of thing. If you're not sure if the podcast is for you, you can start with the episode titled, Are You a Multi-Passionate Creative? Here's 5 Ways to Tell. That's episode 38. So click the link down in the show notes or find Multi-Passionate Mastery anywhere you listen to podcasts. Hope to see you over there soon.